Welcome back, everyone, to Coffee Talk 3.0. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and you're listening on Talk Radio Network stations around the country and here on TalkingAlternative.com, West 72nd Street. I'm joined by the lovely Janice here today, and we got a busy show today. The first segment of today's show is sponsored by Jillian Circus. If you are a small or mid-sized business and you don't have a handle on what your social media footprint is, you could be missing out on millions of dollars of revenue. The experts at Jillian's Circus will create a social media campaign and manage your Yelp, Angie's List, Google, everything else account. They will expand the reach and scope of your brand. Just go to jillianscircus.com or coffeetalkradio.com/circus for more information. Today's episode, we got a lot to talk about, Janice. A lot. Been a crazy week, A of all. I got a new job on the side here, which is I'm quite excited about. That's going to start here in another week. I'll talk about that. I'm going to talk about the Bruce Jenner interview with Diane Sawyer that got 20 million viewers on television last week. We're going to talk about the Baltimore riots, but we're going to be talking about that. And if I have time, I was going to touch a little bit on something from the world of athletics, where a coach for Tulane University had recently, this past month, gotten fired for punishing an athlete for arriving 1 hour late for practice, and she got fired for it. We're going to talk about that in a little while. But first of all, we're going to talk about a little sad, though, this week. Let me tell you about something. So in the last 3 years, I'm a huge animal guy. I mean, I've talked all the time about my little buddy Rocky, my rescue cat, and my dogs. You know, I got a dog, Tommy Lee, lives with my parents. I had Moose and Bo, which I had since like 2001. They were a couple of beagles. Sadly, they had gotten old and had to be put down. They were both kind of getting blind and sick. One was sicker than the other, and they had spent their whole lives together. This was sad. This is like 2 years ago. And so I made the very difficult choice of putting them both down together so that they could be together on the other side. You know what I mean? That was one of the toughest things I've ever had to do. And about a year before that, I had another rescue dog named Rock. I had him for about 5 years. He was a pit bull terrier mix. And he had to be put down. He got sick. And so, sadly, yesterday we had to take Tommy Lee. It's my last dog. He's a big white boxer / Rottweiler. He woke up. I had been up to my parents. I had to get the brakes fixed on my car. Spent like $2,000 getting my... It's that car. I lived in that car, man. It's got like 185,000 miles on it. And so Tommy Lee woke up and... Something just wasn't right, you know. He was drooling, and he couldn't really, you know, he wasn't really cleaning up his drool, you know what I mean? And when he was walking, he was dragging his feet, you know what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't putting his feet down. So, took him to the vet. They, you know, he's still there right now, so I don't really know what's going to happen. He's like about 8 or 9 years old, and the biggest lover. That dog is such an amazing dog. I mean, I'm telling you, he's so gentle, and... we're not sure. They think that maybe he had like a minor stroke, you know? And so, I don't know, heavy heart today, Janice, you know, they're your family. You know what I mean? They really are. So I'm hoping for the best. I'm preparing myself for the worst. I'm going to take this one hard. I'm going to be honest with you. Not that I didn't take the others hard. Of course I took the others hard too, but you know, I don't know. Did you see the interview with Bruce Jenner? Let me tell you something. Okay. So I'm a track and field guy. Obviously I spent over 20 years as an NCAA Division I head coach. I was actually a decathlete myself. And I was, you know, I was 6 years old. So right on the cusp of being able to understand what was going on, you know, when he won the gold medal in Montreal, the Summer Olympics. And of course, everybody my age growing up, you actually remember him from being on the Wheaties boxes. That's where you really remember him. And on commercials and on... like Johnny Carson and things like this. I mean, he was a pretty big celebrity even back then. He became much more of a celebrity, you know, when he married into the Kardashian family, for good or bad. And so, you know, I was I actually talked about this maybe about a month ago because I was on a track and field website. I think maybe Sam was running the board that day. I was on a track and field website, a message board, and the discussion was. ignorantly, and I felt the need to respond to it. The kind of the headline of this thread was, let's be honest, Bruce Jenner is embarrassing our sport. This is well before the Diane Sawyer interview, right? So I gotta what's really so embarrassing about it? First of all, most people don't associate Bruce Jenner with the sport of track and field anymore. Of course, a lot of people understand he was an Olympic gold medalist, but that being aside, that's just part of his life, and it he's not directly tied to track and field anymore, except for historically he is. Because, you know, that was 40 years ago, okay? And I was just like, you know, what do you really care? You know, even before all of this, say he just wanted to dress like a woman. Forget transforming or feeling as though that he actually is a woman. Maybe he was just a cross-dresser. What does it bother you? Like, I don't get where people feel as though they have the right, they think that they have the right, or that they have an opinion that other people should agree with as it pertains to the lives of other people. That's one thing. I've said this on the show before. I consider myself to be conservative as it pertains to how we run our government in terms of finances, military, these kinds of things. I kind of lean to the right, and I say lean. Okay, I'm not all in, but I do say lean. When it comes to social issues, I lean to the left because I don't think it's our place, my place, anybody's place, to go into somebody's living room and tell them how they should be able to live their lives. That goes for gay marriage, that goes for abortion, it goes for everything. And if anybody's got a problem with that, fine, turn the dial, okay? But it's not our place. You know, we aren't not the moral temperature gauge of the world. You know what I'm saying? Like, why do we feel as though we can go into other people's homes and tell them how that they should live? You know, there was a great analogy yesterday where a senator had said something along the lines of, and I know that I'm not going to say this exactly right, but it was something along the lines of, and actually, I think it's a Supreme Court justice. You know, they're debating same-sex marriage. And he said, Jane loves Bob, Jim loves Bob, but only Jane can marry Bob. How is that not discrimination? And it's so true. How is that not discrimination? You know what I'm saying? So as it pertains to Bruce Jenner, I don't know him, and my opinion of him doesn't matter to him, but I'm so proud of that guy, you know? Woman, whatever it is, as a pronoun that we need to use for him from here on out, how brave can one guy be? Can one person be to get up in front of the world and say, "Listen, this is who I feel as I am, and I'm going to be brave enough to live that life." He's not hurting anybody, you know what I mean? And so I think it's an amazing. I think it's a huge step forward for the transgender community by far to have somebody who's such a social icon to step forward and say, it's okay. You can be whoever you are, right? Listen, we'll be back here in a minute on Coffee Talk 3.0. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and you're listening on Talk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
Call today.
Are you tired of gyms and fitness centers that offer only the same boring, mundane options? Are you looking for a new and exciting way to burn fat, gain strength, and improve your flexibility? Then ilovekickboxing.com is the place for you. My name is Kevin Barbaro, and I'm the host of the nationally syndicated radio show Coffee Talk 3.0, and I joined I Love Kickboxing 10 months ago, and it was the best decision I've ever made. In that time, I've lost 30 pounds, I've gained strength and flexibility, and the confidence that I need to move forward in my acting career. I'm nearly 45 years old, and I'm in the best shape of my life thanks to ilovekickboxing.com. Go to ilovekickboxing.com and find the location nearest you. Use the promo code COFFEE and receive 20% off the already low introductory price of $19.99. That's three visits and a pair of gloves. It's 1 hour of your day. It'll change your life forever. Believe me, trust me, I do it myself. ilovekickboxing.com. With most airlines, the most affordable flights are early morning departures. Getting to the airport at that hour can be problematic or even dangerous. I'm Kevin Barbaro, the host of Coffee Talk 3.0. And listen, don't make your Uncle Ned wake up at 3 a.m. so he can get you to the airport on time and not pay for parking. Call S&G Limo at 516-771-LIMO and have affordable, courteous, safe transportation right to your terminal. S&G Limo has branches and affiliates all over the country and can arrange 24/7 service to all major airports. By calling 516-771-LIMO, you can save time and money. And on your return, S&G Limousine will be there patiently waiting for you on your arrival. No more standing in line for a cab. They'll pick you up at curbside and get you home safely. That's S&G Limo, 516-771-LIMO, 516-771-LIMO, or go to coffeetalkradio.com. Welcome back, everyone, to Coffee Talk 3.0. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and you're listening to Talk Radio Network and TalkingAlternative.com. And we're talking about Bruce Jenner and his interview and how brave he is. And Janice and I were just talking off the air here. Really, as Janice had pointed out, it's more than just being a torch or a beacon for the transgender community. It's really a torch or a beacon for anybody. What he's saying is, listen, be yourself, put yourself out there, and live a life that's going to make you happy. And it reminds me of, and I think I may have mentioned a couple weeks ago, there's a great speech that Arnold Schwarzenegger had given at a graduation ceremony. If you kind of go to YouTube and you Google motivational speech Arnold Schwarzenegger, if you can spell it, or just put Arnold, you'll be able to find it. Great speech. And this is one thing about Arnold Schwarzenegger, and there are a couple of people in society, in the world of entertainment, that are like this, where for some reason, because of the roles that that person plays, people think that that person must be an idiot. I don't know if it's because people think of Arnold as Mr. Universe, Conan the Barbarian. Another person is that's like this is Sylvester Stallone. People look at Sylvester Stallone, they go, oh, it's Rocky, you know? And it's like, dude, that guy is so smart that it's ridiculous. Not only is he incredibly smart, he's also an artist. So, you know, he's an accomplished painter as well. Sylvester Stallone is. Yeah, a great artist. He's sold works of art, right? So anyway, people look at these people and they're really smart. There's a reason why you're watching them. That didn't happen by accident. And with Arnold Schwarzenegger in particular, you don't become the governor of California simply because you were a movie star. That's not how it works, okay? I mean, come on. It's like Jesse Ventura became the governor of Minnesota, Jesse the Body Ventura from the wrestling days. Well, Jesse the Body Ventura was a Navy SEAL. Jesse the Body Ventura was incredibly smart, right? He wasn't just in the Terminator movie, okay? So anyway, Arnold Schwarzenegger had this speech, and it kind of correlates with what we're saying about Bruce Jenner. And what Arnold Schwarzenegger was saying is, hey, be yourself. Okay, be true to yourself. Be who you want to be, not what you want to be in life. And don't be afraid to break the rules. And he was saying that he never got anywhere in his life by following the rules. And what he's saying is, don't break the law, but break the rules. Because there's always going to be society, there's always going to be people telling you that you need to do this. You need to fit in this compartment right here. We need to be able to categorize you. And you even find this in acting, right? You walk in the room, in 10 seconds, I haven't said anything, but in 10 seconds, a casting director has already categorized me, has already stuck me in this little kind of box. And it's my job to either change their opinion of that as soon as I open my mouth, and I have about 10 seconds after that happens for me to change that, or if it just happens to be the box that I'm shooting for, to validate their judgment of me when I walk in. But people love to categorize people. People love to put people in boxes. Single, white, male, Caucasian, educated, middle class, right? Conservative. So you must be over here. You know what I mean? And anything that varies from that, and you're a leper, right? And so what Bruce is saying is like, hey, man, just be. Just do. Yeah, there's going to be people that are going to fire at you. But it's people out of just sheer ignorance. You know, I love the fact that people are passionate about things, because I think the lack of, if you don't care about anything, there's something wrong. But what happens is, what I don't agree with people who are fanatical about anything. I think being fanatical about anything, even if it's seemingly healthy, it's not reasonable. It's not rational. And one of the things that separate this is, when I go back to my coaching days, I would tell my athletes all the time, if I felt as though they were going too far, training too hard, making poor decisions with their diet, like not eating enough because they want to lose weight, things like this. One thing I would always remind them is, listen here, you can't lose the ability to reason. Okay, because that's one of the very few things that we have that separates us from the other animals. Besides the fact that we can walk upright and we got opposable thumbs, right? We have the ability to reason. We can walk by water without drinking it. Okay, I have the ability to reason. Once you start losing the ability to reason too far into whatever it is that you are passionate about, and you see this all the time, and I kind of pride myself on being someone who is fairly conservative in many ways. One thing that I also believe in is that I don't know the truth. None of us know the truth, okay? Anybody that tells you that they know the truth, they're lying to you, okay? Because none of us know. Now, there's not one person walking this planet that really knows. You are guessing that your belief system is the right one. Yeah, you have a Bible. Well, other religions have their books too, okay? Okay, because when we all die, we're hoping that we guessed right on where it is that we want to go and who it is that we're going to meet, okay? Because we might be in for a pretty big shocker, man, when you get to the other side and it's a different dude standing in front of you, or it's not even a dude, okay? You find the people who are the furthest into their belief system are actually the most condemning and narrow-minded and discriminatory people. You know, it's a great line in Moby Dick. I would rather share a bed with a sober heathen than a drunken Christian. He says that, right? Ishmael says that. Yes, to my English teacher in 11th grade, I did read the book. Mr. Taft, who owns an Irish pub, P.S., in Burlington, Vermont now. But it's true, because you've got people, and you find some of the deepest hypocrisy, you know, the further into certain pockets of different belief systems. Okay, I'm not even going to say religion, I'm just saying belief systems, you know what I mean? And it's ridiculous. I mean, I think we would all be so much better off as a society, as a world, if we just understood that what we have are opinions. Bruce Jenner, what a brave guy. Loving father, you see that? You know, we've seen his life, right? Loving father, intelligent, kind of the voice of reason within that family, seems like. And amazing athlete. He's a philanthropist, does all these things, right, for all these people that are in need. And then as soon as he starts getting outside of the little box the society has put him in, now all of a sudden you've got people who did like him before when they realized he's a good father, when they realized he's intelligent and everything else. But all of a sudden, because he's starting to exhibit traits that they don't believe in their own belief system, now all of a sudden they're casting stones at the guy. How ignorant is that? I mean, really, that's just ridiculous. So kudos to my boy Bruce Jenner. Obviously, we'll see his journey because he's such a mainstay. What I thought was great, almost 20 million people tuned in to see what he had to say. I thought that the interview, this is no publicity. So it's like he said, oh yeah, yeah, let me try and pump up a show, okay, by going through this entire process and opening myself up to ridicule. In any event, you know, that also leads into what one of the other topics we were going to talk about today that's happening right now, very relevant, are the rioting that did happen. I don't even want to say it's happening in Baltimore, because I really don't feel as though, as we're heading into the weekend here, or as we're in the weekend here, that I would really categorize it as riots anymore. I think that was mainly just the first day that all of this was kind of unfolding, you know, back at the beginning of the week, where, you know, obviously there was buildings burning, et cetera, because and we'll talk about it here in a minute and my take on the whole thing. But I think that right now what you have is you still have a volatile situation. You know, it's still unstable, I guess is the best way to put it. And, you know, Major League Baseball, they had to play that game the other day in front of no fans, which was the first time that's ever happened in Major League Baseball history, where the Baltimore Orioles played that home game on, I believe, Wednesday, and nobody was in the stadium. And I think it was the right decision for them to make also, because it's not necessarily because they want everybody to be safe. And on top of that, they're trying not to be a distraction from what's going on. I think it's a smart move. You know, it wasn't really close. There was a lot of rioting outside of the baseball stadium because that first kind of night, things were kind of happening right there. But as the week went on, it was actually a different part of town. It was near, but not that near to where the stadium was. But I think that out of respect for everything that's going on, I think it was smart for them. Let's just play the game. Let's get the game out of the way, because, you know, they have their own contractual agreements, and they have their own unions, and everything else has got to be taken care of on it. So let's just play the game, get it in the books. The team goes on the road, and then life is good. So in any event, we're going to talk a little bit more about that when we come back here from the break. And we're also going to be talking about the situation with Stephanie Sharp, who was the strength and conditioning coach at Tulane University, let go for punishing somebody for being an hour late. I can't wait to talk about this. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and you're listening to Coffee Talk. Toffee. I'll go for some toffee right now. You're listening to Coffee Talk 3.0 on Talk Radio Network. With most airlines, the most affordable flights are early morning departures. Getting to the airport at that hour can be problematic or even dangerous. I'm Kevin Barbaro, the host of Coffee Talk 3.0. And listen, don't make your Uncle Ned wake up at 3 a.m. so he can get you to the airport on time and not pay for parking. Call S&G Limo at 516-771-LIMO and have affordable, courteous, safe transportation right to your terminal. S&G Limo has branches and affiliates all over the country and can arrange 24/7 service to all major airports. By calling 516-771-LIMO, you can save time and money. And on your return, S&G Limousine will be there patiently waiting for you on your arrival. No more standing in line for a cab. They'll pick you up at curbside and get you home safely. That's S&G Limo, 516-771-LIMO. 516-771-LIMO, or go to coffeetalkradio.com.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
Call today.
Are you tired of gyms and fitness centers that offer only the same boring, mundane options? Are you looking for a new and exciting way to burn fat, gain strength, and improve your flexibility? Then ILoveKickboxing.com is the place for you. My name is Kevin Barbaro, and I'm the host of the nationally syndicated radio show Coffee Talk 3.0, and I joined I Love Kickboxing 10 months ago, and it was the best decision I've ever made. In that time, I've lost 30 pounds, I've gained strength and flexibility, and the confidence that I need to move forward in my acting career. I'm nearly 45 years old, and I'm in the best shape of my life thanks to ILoveKickboxing.com. Go to ILoveKickboxing.com and find the location nearest you. Use the promo code COFFEE and receive 20% off the already low introductory price of $19.99. That's three visits and a pair of gloves. It's 1 hour of your day. It'll change your life forever. Believe me, trust me, I do it myself. ILoveKickboxing.com. Welcome back, everyone, to Coffee Talk 3.0. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and you are listening to talk radio network stations around the country. And we are picking up on the Baltimore situation right now. And like I said before the break, I don't feel as though it's right or respectful for us to call it riots anymore. I think it's more of an uneasiness and uncertainty. I actually, Janice, was in a situation. I actually know two Baltimore police officers. You know, I coached for over 21 years. One of my former athletes, who was a thrower at the University of Toledo, she's a Baltimore police officer. And then one of my high school classmates is also a Baltimore police officer. So I was following it through Facebook and through, you know, all of our conversations within these groups of friends that I have on what was going on. And so you had kind of this insight as to what was happening. And it's tough when you see situations where entire groups of people are lumped into particular categories because of the actions of a few people. Now, as it pertains to, you know, what actually started out with Freddie Gray and him being paralyzed and ultimately dying from those injuries, we still don't know yet what happened. We don't have video evidence of what had happened. Now, I will say, as he was being put into that truck, everyone has saw the images of when he was actually arrested, and it didn't look good, obviously. Now, but they didn't strap him. That's the one thing that I don't understand. They didn't strap him in. Now, I saw some discussion about, well, you know, he could bite and he can do the, well, yeah, but you're a police, this isn't something that you just neglect to do because you're afraid of getting bit or spat on. You're a police officer. These things happen all the time. I'm assuming that the prisoner's safety would be a little bit more important than worrying about getting bit. If he gets bit, then you have every reason and right to subdue the guy. You know what I mean? Usually those paddy wagons are just enough room for you to sit in, where you have to sit upright. But like any truck or anything, you know, it's going to be swaying and banging around every time that you hit the brakes. I mean, people are going to shift forward or backwards. So you got to be strapped in. So regardless of what happens, I think everyone has admitted that the guy didn't have his seatbelt on, and that was the responsibility of the police officers that were there. You're listening to Kevin Barbaro on Coffee Talk 3.0. I'll be back with you in just a second on Talk Radio Network. You have people that want to judge all police officers because of the impact that a few have made that were bona fide bullying or brutality or whatever, such as the police officer in Charleston, South Carolina, that executed that guy in broad daylight. That was caught on tape. That's an obviously motivated, that was a murder. Okay, we saw that. That doesn't mean all cops are like that. You know, and it doesn't mean that all priests molest little kids, because you hear about that happening in the Catholic Church. It doesn't mean that all black people are bad because you see them rob a bank or whatever it is. You can't categorize people. You can't just classify people like that. And it happens on both sides, you know, which is, you know, because I'm pretty objective. So it's like, I want to feel for, I want everybody to get along. Okay, that's the way I am. But, and I want to feel for you. I want to hear your side of the story. But the minute you start saying, well, all cops are bad, then everything that you say after that I'm not going to be listening, because that shows me that you don't really have any interest in discussion. What you're really interested in is giving me your opinion, and that's it. You know, it's not going to be a two-way street. And conversely, the same thing. When you see people, you know, and I have friends on Facebook, and they're still my friends, but I do find myself, I'm disgusted at times when I see what people say. When calling the people in the riots animals, or, you know, these kinds of derogatory. One thing I did post on Facebook this week, I did say, you know, we have to take responsibility. Society itself has to take responsibility for what was happening in terms of the violence and the protests. Now, I don't agree with violence at any time, okay? But I will say this, Janice, I can understand the violence. I'm not saying that I agree with it, but I can certainly understand where it comes from, because, you know, I do believe that anybody that has a desire to better themselves, if they work hard and if they really try, I believe that it can be done. But I will say that I'm a realist also, and I do know that some people are in a situation where no matter how much they want to change, they don't have the capacity for change, and much of it is not of any fault of their own. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's sad when you have a situation that, as you're growing up, depending upon your zip code, how good your education is going to be, and that's a real issue. Okay. So what a lot of my white friends, okay, and my upper middle class friends, what we grew up and we grew up in a certain way in a certain neighborhood, and we had good schools and everything else. You can't empathize with somebody my same, a kid born the same day as me, March 16, 1970, but he was born in a broken home in inner city Baltimore that had just come off its own race riots 2 years before. There was rioting in the 60s, right? And that same guy that's born that same day at the same time, but was born in inner city Baltimore, and he's black, and I'm white, and I'm born in a rural area in Western New York, you don't have the same opportunities. I don't care what anybody says. Yeah, I'd like to be like this kumbaya guy and say, oh, we can all change, we can all make ourselves better. But if all you ever know, you can only be responsible for what you know. You know, and if you grow up every day and all you ever see are the kids that are glorified in your neighborhood, because you never leave your neighborhood, right? You never leave your city because you don't have the means by which to leave. It's not like your family's going on vacation to Florida all the time, right? You never leave the city. And you see the kids that are the people glorifying your neighbor, the kids with money all the time, are the drug dealers, the easy money, right? And if that's all you see, okay, and you don't have as much discipline at home, not because your mom doesn't care, which I think is ridiculous for people to think all moms care. You know what I'm saying? People are applauding the one mother that went and grabbed her son, which I think was amazing. I thought that was great. But let's not be so ignorant to think that that's the only mom that cares. You know what? Every one of those kids that were out there throwing rocks, that were hurting and confused and maybe frustrated with what they feel is like a system that's kept them from leaving, which I agree with them, right? It's a system that's kept them from being able to put themselves in a position to move out of that. And don't tell me that their moms don't care, because their moms do care. You know, I just, people don't, I could talk about this for hours, and I know that there are many people probably listening right now, and I don't try to be controversial in this show. I try to be conversational, and I know there's people listening that are not going to agree with me, and you have the right to not agree with me, but what I do feel as though people have to try to understand is that you can only better yourself if you have the tools to better yourself, and if let me tell you something. My education, my ability to speak knowledgeably about things, and the way that I talk, the way that I enunciate, everything is going to revolve around where I grew up. People aren't born with Southern. This is what people, you know, they say, well, they talk so uneducated, right? I can't understand what they're saying. This is an ignorant, racist thing that people say, right? It's like, okay, well, here's the deal. Go to the middle of nowhere in South Carolina, right? Babies aren't born with Southern accents. You acquire a Southern accent because as you are developing the ability to speak and to form words, you are mimicking what you hear, okay? And so if you are in a situation where you are in a household where no one has anything more than a high school education, or maybe they don't even have a high school education, they're only going to speak in relationship to their community, and that's the accent, that's the... Those are the words that you're going to use. That's how you're going to enunciate. It has nothing to do with race. It has to do with where you were brought up. What needs to happen moving forward for there to be any kind of learning from this, because that's what you're hoping for now at this stage, that people can open their mind to real discussion, okay, not just trying to get their point of view across, because that's all that ends up happening is people just trying to get their own agenda and their own point of view across. And it's not real discussion. Man, I could talk. Janice, I could talk. I could start preaching right now, man. Because I'm telling you, man, I'm inclusive. I'm not exclusive, right? That's what this show's about. If you don't like it, I'm sure there's other shows, right? They're pretty far to the right on the dial. So anyway, I'll be back here in just a moment. I'm Kevin Barbro. You're listening to Coffee Talk 3.0.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
Call today.
With most airlines, the most affordable flights are early morning departures. Getting to the airport at that hour can be problematic or even dangerous. I'm Kevin Barbro, the host of Coffee Talk 3.0, and listen, don't make your Uncle Ned wake up at 3 a.m. so he can get you to the airport on time and not pay for parking. Call S&G Limo at 516-771-LIMO and have affordable, courteous, safe transportation right to your terminal. S&G Limo has branches and affiliates all over the country and can arrange 24/7 service to all major airports by calling 516-771-LIMO. You can save time and money. And on your return, S&G Limousine will be there patiently waiting for you on your arrival. No more standing in line for a cab. They'll pick you up at curbside and get you home safely. That's S&G Limo, 516-771-LIMO. 516-771-LIMO, or go to coffeetalkradio.com. Welcome back, everyone, to Coffee Talk 3.0. I'm Kevin Barbro, and you're listening on talk radio network stations around the country. I'm just a regular white guy from Vermont, man, right? But I have an open mind and an open heart, and I can see how my race of people has effectively caused all of this, okay? I mean, let's be honest, you know. And one thing that I did say the other day was on Facebook, I did say that as much as people want to sit back from the comfort of their own home and watch on TV and pass judgment on, and it's a lot of young people, okay? A lot of young men probably that don't have a dad at home, okay? That are confused and hurt to rationalize what's going on. And it's just all on emotion right now, emotion. Let's not be so ignorant as white folks, right? To forget that in the 1960s and the 1970s, a whole bunch of white upper middle class college students were burning down their own campuses and throwing rocks and everything because we felt as though, they felt as though they were just and justified in their actions because it was for a greater good in their mind. Let's not forget that that happened. Let's not also forget that when I've seen national championships both won and lost on college campuses, we see a bunch of white middle class and upper middle class white kids running around burning cars, destroying public property, and looting. Let's not forget that that happens. And let's also not forget that we wouldn't even be here right now if we didn't lash out against what we felt as though it was a caste system that was unjust and in England and came here and fought so that we can have the lifestyle that we have. We did that because we felt we were upset with the way that we had been persecuted and controlled in England in a caste system that wasn't fair. Well, hello. I mean, let's be real here. And anybody that wants to sit back and say that all of those kids have an equal opportunity as some kid from the suburbs, you're a liar. You're a liar. Or you're just ignorant. It's one or the other. Okay, they don't have the same. Okay, and a kid from that neighborhood's got to work five times as hard to escape from that neighborhood and to make a better life for themselves as some kid from Rockville Center, Long Island, has to. Do you know what I'm saying? And so what needs to happen is, how can we make the community better? How can we all work together? That's what needs to happen, okay? And these young guys, man, they're just hurting, you know? They're confused, but they're no different. It doesn't give them an excuse to burn stuff down. Doesn't give them an excuse to loot. But at the same time, the people in the kids in the 1960s and the 1970s, when they were protesting what they perceived to be an unjust system and a war, they've been regarded as heroes in some cases because they stood up for what it was that they felt was unjust. Why can't we do the same, right? So anyway, that's my feeling on that. I know I don't have very much time left, but getting the whole Tulane thing. So you've got a strength and conditioning coach. Now, schools will hire a strength and conditioning coach because you're only allowed to practice 20 hours a week, okay? That includes time with the strength and conditioning coaches. So it takes the strength and conditioning, the weightlifting, the yoga, whatever it is, the extra stuff that you do, big universities will hire an expert in that area, and you just turn your team over to them. And they're like a regular coach. They're no different than any coach that's on your coaching staff, right? And so they have their own set of rules. You know, like I was at the University of Toledo, I had a great strength and conditioning coach there that I worked with. And I gave him the same respect that he gave me, which was a ton of respect. When I turn my athletes over to him, and I tell my athletes, you need to treat him like you would respond to me. So if he tells you to do something, then you do it. All right. Just like I would tell you, he's a coach. He's an extension of me. Right. So anyway, the bowling team, the women's bowling team at Tulane University. Now there's not a lot of bowling teams in the NCAA. And listen, a lot of people are like, oh my God, the bowling team. Well, you know, they're athletes, you know, there's a lot of sports. Just because you don't do the sport doesn't mean it's not a sport, okay? So, you know, being fair to the bowling team, they're there. They've worked their whole life to be good at what they do and et cetera. So they got the strength and conditioning coach. Now, they don't have men's bowling, so this obviously was a female. So one of the girls on the team shows up, as the reports have it, an hour late. And so the strength and conditioning coach, as punishment, makes her run. Okay, now I want to say it was a mile, but I don't want to be quoted on that, but I think it was a mile, which isn't very far, but to somebody that doesn't run, I guess that'd be pretty far, you know what I mean? This girl complains to her parents that the girl made her run. The parents call up the university, and the next thing you know, this happens so quickly, they fire the strength and conditioning coach for making this girl run, okay? My mind is blown, right? This ranks right up there with the fact that you've got youth soccer where they don't keep score, right? Athletics was supposed to be the one thing left where you're put under stress, you grow, and there's this is one thing that I would always say, this is athletics, man. This is athletics, right? There's winners and there's losers, okay? That's how it works, okay? And it's also one of the very few things, particularly once kids are out of the home, if they are involved in college athletics, it's the one thing that holds them accountable. No other college student is held accountable by anybody. They're on their own. But in athletics, you're held accountable. There's rules. You got to follow them. If you don't follow them, there's consequences. That's athletics, right? Now, all of a sudden, you got to be worried as a strength and conditioning coach that you're going to get fired because you hold somebody accountable. This, the unbelievable amount of entitlement that had to go into this is stunning. I think that Tulane University should be embarrassed that they fired that coach. Her name is Stephanie Sharp. I hope that she gets hired tomorrow somewhere even better than Tulane and makes those kids better and comes back and beats them. To the kids on that bowling team, let me tell you something, man. If you want to be regarded as real athletes, if you're going to complain, and I guarantee that you do, if you want to complain that you're not being given the same respect as kids from other sports, follow the same rules that the kids from other sports do, accept the same punishment that the other kids from the other sports do, and then maybe you'll get some respect that you want. You know what I'm saying? Because that's how life works. Okay? I'm Kevin Barbaro. I just laid it down today. This is Coffee Talk 3.0. We'll be back with you next week on Talk Radio Network and TalkingAlternative.com. We'll see you then.